Hello, bonjour, and welcome to Local First. I'm Candace Vetter, and today I'm speaking with Michelle Cavanaugh from South Nation Conservation, and she's going to talk to us about today about the situation with Phragmites. Hello, Michelle. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Hi, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I was very interested to read that there's the press release saying that there's some interest in trying to control the growth of Phragmites in the South Nation watershed. And I wondered if you could explain to our listeners what they are, first of all, and what they look like, and then what can be done about them.
Yeah, for sure. So the invasive Phragmites is a sort of a wetland plant. A reed, common reed is another name for it. You'll see them very frequently along roadsides and in roadside ditches and along edges of wetlands. They're a really tall plant. It gets a really showy seed head in the fall on it that's very distinguishable. It basically, once it gets into an area, it just starts to take over, and it forms these really dense, really thick, tall stands that you have a hard time seeing through. That's not very good for wildlife. And I should also note there is a native species of Phragmites as well that is around. It looks a little bit different, but it doesn't form those really dense, really tall stands like the invasive one does.
That's a plant that I think, when I first moved here, I called it a pampas grass. It kind of looks like that.
Yeah, that seed head on the end of it, and it's very showy, it's very fluffy looking, and you can easily spot it along roadsides.
Is it one of those invasive plants, like so many, that like disturbed earth to settle in, and that would be why it's along roadsides, and I see it also where there's new development?
Yeah, that's part of the reason, but also it's very easily dispersed. So machinery, for example, that may be working in one spot where there's already a patch of invasive Phragmites, and if a piece of the rhizome or the root gets transported on that, it very easily takes hold and starts to grow. So that's one of the real challenges with it, is that it's so easy to unknowingly transport it from one location to the next.
So if, say, there's a road crew doing mowing or something like that along the side of the road, they could be potentially making it worse?
Yeah, that could happen if they're not, you know, cleaning their equipment before they move to a new site where there's no Phragmites. Also, just seed dispersal can make it grow in new areas as well. So, yeah, it's a really challenging one, and it does really well in those disturbed areas, like you said. So in the roadsides and edges and all that.
I've noticed between alongside the 417, there's, I would say, from probably about Vars to Castleman, it's just about all lined with them now. There's hardly any patches of cattails or other grasses or bushes or anything along there. And I also was reading that it was described as the grass that ate New Jersey. And so what can we do to stop it or slow it down at least?
Thankfully, the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources has initiated this new Ontario Phragmites Action Program, which is really aimed to create a coordinated response to invasive Phragmites in the province. And it's really about getting organizations and municipalities and groups to collaborate on A, mapping out where it is throughout kind of the area, and then secondly, looking at coming up with management plans and then implementing those management plans to really start coordinating control of the plant across the province. Because it's so pervasive and so challenging to control, it really does require this coordinated, collaborative approach.
What is that approach? Like, is there a method that's going to be used, or how?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So what's happened is the province is being sort of split up into these management areas. And there's sort of a key organization or group of organizations within each management area that are trying to lead that collaborative effort. So in our jurisdiction, we have the Eastern Ontario Phragmites Management Area, and it's actually quite a large area. It includes the Raisin Region's jurisdiction, South Nation, you know, part of Rideau, going down towards sort of the border with Cataraqui Conservation. So that press release you saw was a collaborative effort between sort of some of the organizations that are working within this management area. So the River Institute, Raisin Region Conservation Authority and our South Nation Conservation, what we're trying to do is first just map the where the Phragmites is within this huge geographic area, which, as you can imagine, is probably the big first step to do that. But then after that, it's going to be looking at coming up with a management plan. So looking at, you know, working with municipalities, working with counties to look at especially the road network, which are kind of a pathway of spread, and see, okay, how do we prioritize where we want to manage the Phragmites? Is it going to be around areas that are more environmentally sensitive? Is it around, you know, the major arterial roads? Those sorts of decisions haven't been made yet, but then once kind of that priority is determined with feedback from all the partners and stakeholders in the area, then it'll be looking at, okay, what's the best method to get rid of it? In some cases, it'll be herbicide. In other cases, maybe it's a combination of some mechanical control with herbicide, and then in other areas, maybe mechanical control is the best option. So it'll be a lot of work to look at figuring out which method will be the best and the most cost-effective as well, because I'm sure you know municipalities don't have huge amounts of funding to spend on tackling this, so we have to kind of use the resources we have to the best effect.
And would MNR be kicking in some money for that?
Yes, they are, for sure. So they have a fund that's open right now. It's mm-hmm. the Invasive Phragmites Control Fund. And it's open right now, accepting applications for these sorts of collaborative projects that look at targeting some areas for control, additional mapping if that's still needed. So the River Institute, Raisin Region Conservation Authority, and South Nation Conservation, we're working together on an application to look at increasing the amount of mapping we're doing in our area, as well as looking at some targeted control efforts for this coming year. But if the fund is open for any, you know, nonprofit or municipality who wants to apply, maybe they've got an area they already want to target or are planning to target within their municipality, and this way they'd be able to get some extra funding from the MNR to support that work.
So that's something they could apply for right away.
Yes, for sure. I'd recommend going on the Invasive Phragmites Action Program website. Or Invasive Phragmites Control Fund. If you Google that, it'll come up with the page. It's administered through the Invasive Species Center, and they have all the information and the application documents and all that is on that web page.
This sparks a couple of questions in my mind. One is, you mentioned herbicide, and is there a herbicide that is specifically targets only that species, or would it be a more broad herbicide which could end up killing a lot of other stuff too?
Yeah, you have to be very careful with, if you do decide to use herbicide, obviously you have to have the proper license and trained staff who are doing it. There's two different types of herbicide that work on Phragmites. Unfortunately, they're not specific only to Phragmites, but if you're careful with your approach on how you use it, you can, you know, only target that plant, because, as I said, Phragmites forms these really dense stands where nothing else will grow. So it's, as long as you're careful and you're targeted, it's a very effective way to deal with these kind of really dense, really big stands. So the two herbicides are either glyphosate, which is more commonly known as Roundup,
right,
is one of the options, and then Imazapyr, I believe, is the name of the other one. So they both work. They have different, sort of slightly different timing and you know, methods to use, but those are the two. And those also are ones that can only be used when, you know, you don't have any standing water. So if you have a patch of Phragmites that's within standing water or along a shoreline or somewhere where you have that water there, you have to look at, it's a newer herbicide that was approved not too long ago. It's called Habitat Aqua. It's one that's been tested in southern Ontario, and it works quite well on Phragmites, and that's one that's approved for use over water.
And then you talked about mechanical methods. Does that mean basically digging them up and destroying them?
They don't recommend digging them up, because then that gives you the chance to spread more of those rhizomes around. Mm-hmm. There's actually a method to use that's called spading. So what you do is you use basically a very sharp spade shovel, and you go in on a 45 degree angle at the base of the plant and basically chop through the bottom of the plant without disturbing the soil too much. You kind of just chop in and then pull your spade out, and then you have the stalks to deal with. But that is a method that has been shown in the Phragmites best management practices document that works fairly well. It is more labor intensive, obviously, so you'll kind of look at the size of the patch you want to deal with and the manpower you have and make a decision on whether that's feasible or not for you. But certainly if you're working in a much more sensitive area, that might be the best option to look at trying that one out. But I would recommend looking at the best management practices document for invasive Phragmites. It outlines all the different methodologies, chemical, mechanical. There's a biocontrol that's in progress right now with research. So it's an excellent document that was just released last year.
I was going to ask about biocontrol. I had read or heard somewhere that there was a wasp that might be used as a biocontrol, sort of similar to the idea of the purple loosestrife?
It's a moth, actually.
Oh, a moth, okay.
That they're looking at. And it's the University of Toronto, I believe, is the kind of the lead research on it. And they're looking at, they have some kind of test sites throughout the province where they've released this moth, and they're looking at how well it does in controlling the invasive Phragmites, and with the goal to eventually be able to spread out kind of those sites to more areas across the province. Still kind of early days, but it's looking promising.
I know we talked about municipalities applying, but it's nonprofit groups as well. So for instance, we have an organization in our area east of Ottawa called Eco East. Would they be, and they're a registered nonprofit, would they be able to apply for money to hire a bunch of people to come and spade out some of these stands that are just starting to take hold here?
Yeah, for sure. I do believe they would be eligible, but I'd recommend looking at, there's a whole eligibility guideline,
right,
and an applicant guide,
yes,
available on the website. So yeah, I double check that, but it's one-to-one matching funding, I believe. So, you'd have to have some matching funds available to apply, but it's a great opportunity to get some extra funding support for those types of projects. To let everyone know that, if you see this, especially this coming summer, if you see, South Nation conservation vehicles on the sides of the roads with GPS units, we're likely mapping Phragmites, and with the end goal to hopefully have a management plan and start really tackling this invasive plant.
Could people, if they spot a new stand forming, can they contact South Nation or Raisin River about a location, or is that just something that South Nation's going to be sort of touring all the roads?
No, there's actually a kind of a province-wide portal called EdMap, which tracks invasive species. That there's an app you can download on your phone for it. That people could report sightings there, or iNaturalist. Maybe people are more familiar with iNaturalist. That's another one where you can report invasive Phragmites, and all of these platforms talk to each other, which is really great, so that, whenever we're coming up with a map for our area, we'll be able to pull in data from EdMaps and iNaturalist to take a look at all of that information from everyone. So I would recommend either of those two apps, but if people don't have access to that and they still want to report, by all means, please, you can reach out to South Nation or Raisin Region, depending on where you are in the jurisdiction, and we'd be happy to report those sightings on your behalf.
Okay, well, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I'm Candace Vitter on Local First for CGRO Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, speaking with Michelle Cavanaugh from South Nation Conservation about the invasive Phragmites and what is something that may be helping to control it.